Welcome to Kinsman Redeemer Ministries, a Christian identity church that believes in the good news that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred people are the true Israel of Scriptures. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Mark Downey, and today's message is part three in the conclusion of the genesis of satanic deception called The Magic of Occult Societies. As the world goes to hell in these last days of the end times, many people shall be running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And as Daniel 12:4 prophesied, knowledge shall be increased. Our society is no longer agrarian or industrial, as they took away the family farm and moved our factories to foreign countries. But boy, do we have a lot of information. There are people who have been organizing conspiracies for a long, long time and keep their machinations hidden like a needle in a haystack. However, God gives the Bible-believing Christian instructions on how to find the truth. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Proverbs 25:2. In other words, it's possible to find out who the most powerful Antichrist are and what they're doing. As Babylon manifests itself for the final time, God's revelation of it is shrouded in mystery. It defies explanation or being fully understood by human reason. But with the Word of God, we can identify the magic of occult societies and the satanic deception they practice. Revelation 17:5 says, "Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of horrors and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great wonder." What this means is the thinking or mentality behind the authority of lawlessness. The mystery of iniquity is all the false systems of worship which substitute another god for the God of the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 speaks of these religions that are already in working operation. And the best interpretation I can offer of "he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way" is that the adversaries of God will hold on to their power until they're eliminated. Continuing in verse 8, and this is a combination of the Farrapanten and the AST, quote, "Then the outlaw will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay by the mentality of his mouth, and shall destroy by the manifestations of his presence. This outlaw's arrival will be accompanied by the energy of a small s Satan with all powers, signs, and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of truth to be saved." End quote. Well, now, I don't have hidden cameras or microphones to record the ceremonies of Yale's Skull and Bone Society, or a conversation between the Pope and a Rothschilds, or between the Queen of England and a Rockefeller, or the CIA and the Mossad, or the Masonic Black Horse Lodge of London and the Bohemian Grove of California, etc. But there is a plethora of insider leaks and whistleblowers that give us enough information for a criminal profile or script in which to prosecute these avowed devil worshippers. In fact, the only religious chapel at the United Nations is run by a satanic cult. Its name was changed from the overt Lucifer Trust to the less conspicuous and covert Lucis Trust. How do these vile excuses for mankind get away with such blatant malevolence? Is it magic? In 1913, Woodrow Wilson said, "Some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacture are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it." The Bible uses the phrase, "for fear of the Jews," of which much has been written about, especially their power of the purse. But the congenital Jew cannot institutionalize one world government by himself, and therefore enlist the servitude of men who define their own reality and declare themselves God. The Jewish Kabbalah, the Book of Magic and Black Arts, and within recent history, the intelligence community of what's called black bag operations, reverses the roles of God and Lucifer and embraces occult symbols, rituals, and blood sacrifices. The Kabbalists secretly dedicated themselves to destroying Christianity. In 1776, prominent Jewish bankers had the Jew Adam Weishaupt organize the Illuminati to merge with Freemasonry in 1782 for the purpose of recruiting white Christians willingly or unconsciously into the servitude of world Jewry. Weishaupt said, "The great strength of our order lies in its concealment. Let it never appear in its own name, but always covered by another name and another occupation." And that's why I don't pretend to know which came first, the chicken or the egg, in this discussion of Freemasonry or the Illuminati. But history is replete with their shenanigans and their lust for fresh blood to feed a hungry vampire. The lust to control the world needed the lust of materialism in order to protect their lust for a financial monopoly. The old Jerusalem is supposed to be their religious capital for the new Masonic world government. Well, all of these secret societies have a common denominator for its initiates: to swear blind obedience on pain of death, and to accept the universalism of all religions in order to negate them all. It practices the most sophisticated form of deception on earth. It only reserves the truth of what they're doing to their adepts, the well-trained alchemist of social change, entirely proficient in intentionally misleading society with falsehoods. Their satanic agenda is to strip our people of what is divinely written in our heart, soul, and mind, so that we stand as naked as Adam and Eve. That's why God is so indispensable to our identity. God is the reality of our destiny. We cannot deny Him without denying the prophecy of our own fulfillment. And this is the impasse, the status quo, the mirror that we look into every day. We are ruled by a satanic cult using smoke and mirrors, as previously described in The Illusions of Government and Animal Magnetism. We can return to sanity at any time by proclaiming no king but Jesus. Some of us are already there and are just waiting for others to catch up. We are not waiting for God to do what we're supposed to be doing. We are waiting for the blindness of Israel to see that the world is in the grip of something very evil indeed. The satanic deception is not being able to see what has and has not been manipulated in Christianity. When Jesus quoted Psalms 82:6 in John 10:34, saying, "Have I not said ye are gods? he was mocking the Jew which had fallen into such depravity. It is the posterity of these depraved devils today that deify themselves through hook and crook. The hook that snares our mind into a Babylonian captivity is the so-called magic of the occult. There's a tremendous difference between Christ teaching the elect that through him we have forgiveness for and the remission of our sins. And by faith, all things would be possible for us, and conversely, every single Antichrist teacher who says nothing is impossible for man. The two are as different as night and day, and yet God is in control of both. God must be amused and irritated at the same time when these magicians try to mimic the Most High. They say imitation is the highest form of flattery. But God doesn't need flattery, and neither do we. All he wants is obedience. Just do what he says and not what anybody else commands. Otherwise, you enter the doors of deception. There is only one absolute truth. Everything else is trick-or-treats. From the book, The Art of Illusion, by John Mulholland, he explains magic is the pretended performance of those things which cannot be done. The pretended performance. The success of a magician's simulations of doing the impossible depends upon misleading the minds of his audience. This, in the main, is done by adding to a performance details of which the spectators are unaware, and leaving out others which they believe you have not left out. While we are anesthetized spiritually and dumbed down politically, the traitors in government are carrying out their orders under occult discipline or blackmail. You've all read the protocols. You know that everything's on schedule. I think we witnessed this sleight of hand with precision of late, seeing Senate Majority Leader Senator Trent Lott, a 33-degree Mason, lamenting how much better this country would be today had pro-segregationist Strom Thurmond been elected president rather than Harry Truman, another 33-degree Mason. The Jews' media waved their magic wand, and suddenly the whims of white separatism disappeared. Poof. You see, Senator Lott doesn't care a whole lot about his constituents, or God, or the truth. How many antichrists does it take to screw in a light bulb? Or to cover the earth with darkness? Well, it's not so much a matter of quantities as it is in the quality of the deception. Execute a successful cover-up like the JFK assassination, and the numbers will follow. You can deceive an entire nation with misleading information. When Daniel said there's going to be an increase in knowledge, don't presume to think that this is going to be a one-way street of blessings. There are many ways in the satanic tool chest to hide and distort the truth. You can substitute information by wordsmithing or tweaking language. You can omit information by selective removal of facts or evidence. You can scramble information out of sequence by skewing a timeline or chronology. But the greatest mischief is adding nonsense to information and thus creating a perpetual saturation of random garbage. The great masses of churchianity have soaked up a false interpretation of Satan like a sponge. I bring forth this sermon to slay the figurative dragon in men's minds, to deprogram this pseudo-supernatural bugaboo of cosmic evil, which seems to drag on and on and on. Hollywood constantly churns out absurd biblical monsters of the demonic realm to take over the earth. And for good reason, if you're not a true Christian. It reinforces the modern mythology of slicker, slimier adversaries, which are conveniently incorporated into Judaized theology. It also deflects attention away from the real culprits who imagine themselves God. As we'll see, these secret societies are well within the confines of mainstream establishment churches. Let me share with you some of the recycled superstitions and Jewish fables being churned out of fear-mongering pulpits today. Quote, "Every day is a new adventure as those who have eyes to see behold the activities of the Illuminati masterminds of the great conspiracy to enthrone Satan as the Antichrist God of this world." Here's another one. "Rexella and I have just completed a new video after immersing ourselves in a myriad of research and study. The Antichrist super deceiver of the New World Order may become one of the most important works in the history of our ministry. In this in-depth study, we show that the global dictator of the New World Order is undoubtedly waiting in the wings to begin his 7-year reign, controlled and eventually incarnated by Satan." Well, Jerry Falwell went so far to say that the singular Antichrist would be a Jew, but quickly did a Trent Lott and profusely repented. Deviating from the politically correct rapture concoction, Tex Mars treads on the Jewish Judeo part of Christianity by saying, "The day has arrived as the wealthy blood dynasties of the Illuminati plot to make Jerusalem capital of a satanic New World Order, with an elaborate scheme to catapult to the heights of world power their leader, King of the Jews, who will be the Antichrist, the Beast, an evil-possessed monster designed to bring about a Jewish utopia, a socialist communist empire. Christianity is to be destroyed, its last vestiges to be laced with Kabbalistic occultism. All world religions shall be made subservient to Talmudic Judaism, in which perfected man, in other words, enlightened Jews, shall collectively become God." It's interesting to note that 70% of people in a WorldNet daily poll believe this singular Antichrist is already alive and well here on earth today. Hal Lindsey, the notorious purveyor of the personified version of Satan, said, "Satan never wanted a world that did not believe in the supernatural. He wants a religious world that will believe in him." And Hal capitalizes the word him. "And for this, he," capital H, "will supply all kinds of supernatural experiences to lure in those who reject God's truth." Hal Lindsey, I think, wants a Judeo-Christian religion that believes in a supernatural spook called Satan. Even in Christian Identity, we have some twisted teachings founded in the Satan mythologies rather than the Bible. All of these misguided definers of Satan are part of the problem. The majority of these obstinate, stiff-necked Christians are just as much Satanist as Anton LaVey or any heavy metal rock band. Why? Because it's a matter of focus and proactive responsibilities. Instead of looking at the original non-occultic understanding of Satan in the Bible, religious charlatans put the spotlight on a third-rate superstition for the consumption of the gullible masses. The deadliest of our enemies rarely wrap themselves in the trivial trappings of appearing evil like Ozzy Osbourne. You won't see David Rockefeller in a Freddy Krueger costume at Halloween. No, they present themselves in a respectable fashion, reflecting their wealth and power. It's no joke that an actor became president. Members of occult societies who are elevated in high places of government are magically supported by an entire theatrical company whereby they can issue executive orders for us to obey them in the authority of God. That was the Anglican trick-or-treat for the divine right of kings. Well, let me tell you, the purpose of this message is to downsize how big and bad the satanic conspiracy is, biblically speaking. For to do so would simply be enabling the beast. My purpose is to show you that there is no greater power to destroy our enemies than the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. And let me ask you, my Christian identity brethren, do you fear these midgets in government like Donna Shalala or Robert Reich, no matter how big of a giant shadow they cast? After reading Bastiat's The Law, we can get an appreciation of legalized plunder. Indeed, plunder becomes a protected right. Babylon is a mystery because charity has been perverted through stupid greed. How do you think the Rockefellers and the Kennedys got so rich? They cloaked their money in philanthropy and phony charities. The commercial jurisdiction of occult societies prospers at the expense of others, like you and me. The wished-for God status of King Boy George can only be realized by the public magically accepting pretend law, like the Patriot Act or Homeland Security. Christians know, or should know, that there is only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy, and that is the Lord, James 4:12. Aleister Crowley, the famed occultist and Satanist, coined the very humanist expression, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." The reality check for aspiring magicians or world emperors is, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Luke 18:27. Translation: the new world order of Pax Judaica will never happen, whereas the kingdom of God will. The god of Enron, the god of gold, the god of merchant corporations is the culmination of thousands of years of satanic deception. It is not a singular Satan, the spook pronoun, that deceives, according to the Bible. Listen to this. "For thy merchants," plural, "were the great men of the earth. For by their sorceries were all nations deceived." Revelation 18:23. If we can start identifying the cause of deception, which is big business, not demons from hell or outer space, we can stop lamenting over our own self-inflicted delusions. The enemies of God want you to focus on the effects and symptoms of their magic trick. Their total disregard for the well-being of people and the planet should be abundantly clear. That's what makes the deception so insidious. They not only manipulate economies, but also the flow of information that the world receives. They hire the priestcraft, the pulpit pimps, the 501c3 churches, to give their sanitized version of why we're headed for a one-world government without Jesus Christ. They need to control the way society thinks, thus assuring the deception will continue unnoticed and unchallenged. When Jesus said, "Take heed lest any man deceive you," Mark 13:5, he was imploring us to be ever watchful and not led astray. Christ is saying that the use of his sacrifice will actually be used to perpetuate the deception he is warning us about. How many times do we hear, God loves everybody, and other nonsensical points of salvation? This literally qualifies almost every denomination using and abusing scriptures to be accomplices of murders, liars, and thieves. The sheeple of Judeo-Christianity are convinced that Jews are God's chosen people because of their shepherds. These are wolves, occult magicians in pious sheep's clothing, deceiving the flocks, the unsuspecting, trusting audience. The construct of this magic act comprises the substitution, omission, scrambling, and trashing of information. There will be an increase in knowledge. Not to contradict my earlier statement about downsizing this conspiracy, but we are the most conditioned, programmed beings the world has ever known. It is not enabling the small-s Satans of conventional wisdom who carefully institutionalize ignorance for the sake of dogmatic conformity. If there is mass acceptance of the government, it's probably contrived. Somebody paid for our public perceptions with a lot of money in order to make a lot of money. These illusions are not so great that we can't detect the sleight of hand. How often have we heard these mantras, such as, flu shots prevent the flu, hospitals are safe and clean, milk is a good source of calcium, margarine is just like butter, vitamin C is ascorbic acid, fluoride in city water protects your teeth. Well, do you know why modern tyrants want to control the masses without their knowing it? It's because if people knew, they would hang the tyrant from the nearest lamppost. Everybody has an opinion about deception these days, but let's reduce it to two schools of thought. We are free to choose the truth, or we are free to choose a lie. If all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then the deception is self-imposed. If, on the other hand, your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8, by way of deception, then we are victims targeted for death. Christians counted as sheep for the slaughter, Romans 8:36. God knows there will be spiritual Mickey Finns slipped into the living waters of his word with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Yes, we should be sober and vigilant, knowing that the wages of deception is death. By the same token, we might die because we refuse to be deceived. The root cause of rejecting the truth is reciprocated by God providing the effect of deception. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 11. This formula has been tapped into by the occult and explains everything having to do with the paranormal. They cannot, however, take credit for phenomenons, as everything emanates from the one true God. The aristocracy of Antichrist shall arise and bring forth astonishing technology. And to paraphrase Matthew 24:24, and if it were possible, they will even cause white Christians to be deceived. Categorically, the worst sort of deceiver is the one who takes pleasure in unrighteousness and mimics God with malice for self-aggrandizement. Such is the case with false salvations detached in the ether of third-person hallucination. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, Titus 1:16. A third-person identity is no more one's first person than what virtual reality is to reality. Christ said, if any man was to follow him, let him deny himself, Matthew 16:24. He didn't say, don't be yourself. The occult is a shell game of hiding our true selves from God, whether we do it to ourselves or someone else does it. The axiom, to thine own self be true, is the Christian practice of honest examination. The Word of God is the standard by which we measure guilt or innocence. Our authority derives from God. No matter how clever one tries to hide their accountability, God will expose the failures of man. When false accusers vicariously judge the world in God's behalf, their authority is corrupt. When you see the blind leading the blind, you have a choice in joining the entourage. One of the biggest satanic deceptions of our day is the so-called Holocaust. Are those who accept it as a historical fact guilty of being deceived? Or are they deceived for being put on a guilt trip? Guilt is one mechanism of intimidation to get people to submit to false authority. We do not need to feel guilty when something does not clearly measure up to the Word. And I'm just a little bit disgusted with the lack of Christian leadership in condemning the deceived. Our leaders should redirect their wrath at the deceivers. But then their heads might be on the chopping block. We must have a more Christ-like compassion for the lost sheep and wield the battle axe against the wolves. I have not gone into detail about the black arts of Freemasonry or any other Antichrist cabal because volumes have already been written about that. Besides, the shifting sands of deception may be in your home at this very moment. With the increase of information available at your disposal, you may know and identify them quickly. Mark Twain observed, "It's not from the things we don't know, but things we know that aren't so." Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. James 4:7-8. Well, I hope these messages have brought you closer to God and further away from evil. As John's vision of Revelation admonishes us, come out of her, my people. Hail Jesus the Christ, praying our Arian benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of the white race, and I will bless them. Amen.